With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The
Score! I think Schwarber in the wild card game, he took Cole deep, and I saw him take Cole deep in 2015, so that was like a what the hell's going on moment. But seeing Schwarbs in Boston, Yankees, Red Sox last year was really cool. That atmosphere was, in September in the wild card game was electric.
No doubt about that.
Welcome back into Score Overnight. I am Mark Grody. Welcome in. 312-644-6767. That was the voice of Anthony Rizzo in a Yankees uniform all weekend out there at Guaranteed Rate Field. Still weird to see Rizzo in a uniform other than the Chicago Cubs. It's becoming more and my God, does he fit in with that team. I mean, he's just a perfect piece to that team. As you know, we had Susan Waldman on Inside the Clubhouse this weekend, the Yankees broadcaster, as I was filling in for David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, and she was talking about how Rizzo essentially has carried that team, and that's a damn good team, as White Sox fans know, as the Yankees now 25-9 to the White Sox 16-17 after the Yankees beat the White Sox by a final score of 5-1. But, yeah, Rizzo appears to be at peace with everything that went down with the Cubs, kind of like that whole everything happens for a reason. Rizzo, as we know, ended up taking, after all of that, which is what I find bizarre, after everything, after Rizzo waiting and waiting, waiting to get to free agency, Rizzo settled for a two-year, $32 million deal at the age of 32. So I would suspect that in 2 years, that ain't going to get much better for Rizzo when he's 34, 35 years old. And, unless he continues to hit 30 home runs a year. And there is evidence to suggest he might just do that. And hell, if he really has conquered Yankee Stadium and being a lefty there and hitting to that short porch in right field, maybe the Yankees will give him the bundle after a couple of years if they feel like he's got that extended life in him. But I always say this to put the closing points on Rizzo. The Cubs will have always gotten the best out of Anthony Rizzo. 10 years with the Cubs from 2012 through 2021, that you got the best of Anthony. You got the prime years. No matter how good it's been this year, no matter how good it might be in the future for Rizzo, Cubs fans, you got the best version of Anthony Rizzo. You won a World Series in part because of Anthony Rizzo. I still think it's possible that Rizzo finishes his career with the Cubs. I mean, really, you got to look at the Cubs right now and the way that they are built. Obviously, not to win this year. Going to be difficult next year, too, unless they go on a signing spree, because they don't have the backup in the minor league system like they did heading into 2015, where you could just bring up all your prospects and make that your core and go to the damn NLCS. That ain't happening with this core of prospects. You'd have to go on a signing spree, and that's not completely out of the question. So it's probably a couple of years off before we're talking about the next good to great Cubs team. And I could see a scenario where Rizzo could return, because that's what Jed Hoyer does. He brings in Anthony Rizzo to the Cubs at every single – or wherever he has been, whether it was Boston or San Diego or finally with the Cubs for – fill in the blank – Andrew Cashner. So it was interesting. Good to hear. You know, Rizzo sounded happy, healthy, drove in a couple of runs, had one day off in the series, which I'm sure was Aaron Boone saying, go hang out with all your Chicago buddies. We'll give you the day off on this day. But 9 homers, 23 RBIs, 889 OPS for Anthony Rizzo. But I guarantee you, Cubs fans, you will have gotten the best out of Anthony Rizzo. The Cubs had a nice weekend, man. They end up taking 2 out of 3 in some close games this weekend against Arizona. You know, the game yesterday, tight throughout, a 3-2 win over the Diamondbacks. You get the power from Rafael Ortega and Patrick Wisdom. Both of those guys hit home runs. But it is the ninth inning that we got to look at in this Cubs game. Frank Schwindel, Dirty Frank, starts, or I should say, my bad, Patrick Wisdom starts it off, leads it off with a double, and then right after him, it is Frank Schwindel.
Cubs 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. The pitch, line drive, a blue base hit down the right field line. Cubs will take the lead as Wisdom comes around to score. RBI single by Frank Schwindel. Cubs break the tie. They lead the Diamondbacks 3-2.
And I will tell you that the Justin Steele was terrific in this game for the Cubs, who end up winning it 3-2, as heard right here on the score. Justin Steele goes 6 innings, allowed 1 earned run, 3 hits, struck out. This is the number, ladies and gentlemen. 10. Walked 2. So Justin Steele is in my circle of players that I am interested in
Smith
on
delivers.
The Cubs.
Called strike 3. A fastball on the outer half, 93 miles per hour. Strikeout number 7 on the afternoon for Justin Steele.
Yeah, he is a person of interest for me. There are only so many of those guys on this Cubs roster. But based on that, it's like, okay, here's some of that promise with Justin Steele. And I'm not saying like Justin Steele all of a sudden is going to become an ace, but this is his tryout year, man. There's a few guys that are trying out for the future Cubs, and Steele is one of them. I think Patrick Wisdom is one of those guys. I think Frank Schwindel, believe it or not, is one of those guys. So he moves into that area. And I'm always interested in Kyle Hendricks. I am definitely interested in Seiya Suzuki. I'm very interested in Marcus Stroman. But guess what? Congratulations, Justin Steele. You have moved in my – you know, I'm going to call it – it's my circle of interest. I am interested in you now, Mr. Steele. I am. So don't let me down. 10 strikeouts, 2 walks. I'll be expecting him to continue to match that. Nice bullpen work by Rowan Wick, who got the save. Chris Morton, and Scott Efros has been impressive for the Cubs as well, who are now 13-20 and 8 games back. And that's the trick, man. Watching the Cubs, you got to figure out who you want to watch, what you're interested in, unless you are somebody who is like just flowing with optimism and thinking that the Cubs are going to like you're rooting for them. Like, you're hoping that they win games and that you think they can win games even though they're 13-20 and 8 games out at this point. God bless you if you're going with that. But my process in watching Cubs games is who are the individuals that are interesting to me that I think can either help the team, well, that can help the team in the future, or are guys that have been on this roster who are just interesting to watch, like Kyle Hendricks, who had another good outing. Not as good as a San Diego start, but on Saturday he goes 5 2/3 and allowed 1 run along the way. Let's listen to what the Cubs manager David Ross had to say after the game as he kind of recaps the 3-2 win over the Diamondbacks, and he recaps the series victory as well. All right, we'll get back to Rossi in just a little bit. Why don't we go to the White Sox world? Because, my God, was it strange what happened to Michael Kopech. The White Sox lose to the Yankees, 5-1 the final score. Kopech, here's the line. All right, this is one of those times where you got to watch the game to have known what went down in this puppy. Kopech goes 6 innings. Excuse me, allows 3 runs, 1 hit, struck out 3, walked 4. So, Yankees second inning, Kopech allowed all his runs in that inning. 2 on bases loaded walks, one to Aaron Hicks, the other to DJ LeMahieu. And then Kopech, a wild pitch that made it 3-0 New York Yankees. And this inning, this looked like an inning that I didn't think Kopech was going to make it out of this inning. Ryan Burr was warming up. Kopech is out here sweating and missing. He could not get the breaking ball over the plate. And so he's not wanting to tempt fate with the fastball that some of these, you know, guys, even the guys down in the order, are thumpers and could do damage. So he's out here laboring. And it's like, it just looked, oh my God, 3 runs already on 2 bases loaded walks and a wild pitch. And then he settles down. Kopech and the Sox bullpen, Burr, Lopez, Reynaldo Lopez, and Jose Ruiz retire 21 in a row until Ruiz walks Josh Donaldson with 2 outs in the 9th inning. And then you had this moment.
Donaldson runs, and that one's going to go, and that hurts. 5-1 on a 2-run homer by Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo with the 2-run blast right there. And that's off of Ruiz. That's not until the 9th inning after all of that, and makes it 5-1 Yankees. It felt impossible at that point. But I think it's amazing what Kopech did, because how often does a pitcher, and a lot of times it's relievers, come in, walk 2 guys with the bases loaded, and either survive the inning. It's so rare. Like, you walk 2 guys in the inning, you're probably not going to make it out of that inning. But then not only survive the inning, but survive the next inning and the next and the next and the next and the next. So while I'm completely conflicted watching it. It's like, was this a bad outing for Kopech, or was this a good outing for Kopech? Because it was a terrible, raunchy inning that he had. You walk 1 guy with the bases loaded, and that's bad. 2 guys and a wild pitch as well. It's just awful, and it's chaos, and use whatever adjective you want. But then to survive it, and then to like, he was pissed, man, leaving that mound. He was visibly upset. And then to take the deep breaths and come out and then be Kopech-esque the way he has been. Like, he's been dominant this year, but he's been very good, been very efficient, been very good at ramping up the fastball and not, like, overexposing his arm and all that kind of stuff. Like, doing the Verlander thing where you start to see higher MPH later in games. So while early, like, as the innings went on, like, this is just, you know, this is Kopech, he blew it. This is a bad game. I know it's one bad inning. But you know what? It was like he, as somebody said, it was like he was his own reliever. And I got to say, on the overall, that's a pretty good outing by Michael Kopech. And Steve Stone made a good point during the broadcast, too. It's his first full year of starting. So there is going to be times where I am, believe it or not, going to give Kopech a little bit of room to have innings like that. But the fact that he recovered from it, like, I like the percentage of pitchers that recover from 2 bases loaded walks has to be immaculately low, whether getting out of the inning or even just going forth in the game. So I guess I'll answer my own question. It was a good outing for Michael Kopech, a rough weekend for the White Sox, losing again yesterday 5-1. What a bizarre, I mean, you talk about, okay, so that's a bizarre, the Yankees only had 2 hits today. So, bizarre Michael Kopech start and a bizarre Dylan Cease start. 11 strikeouts and 6 runs in the what was it, the Thursday game? So that was bizarre. And then the seven runs in the eighth were just about as disheartening of a thing as we've seen happen to the White Sox since Josh Naylor was hitting baseballs out of the park on the south side. The Friday game, too, just a thumping with Vince Velasquez out there, the 10-4 loss, 4 more home runs. I mean, you got your grand guys just crushing the baseball out here with Stanton and Aaron Judge. Just crushing it. And then the game Saturday. It's a good thing they slipped that victory in on Saturday, man, because Liam Hendricks did not look particularly steady in a 3-2 win. Yankees, some bad base running, making that possible for those guys. So, unfortunately, a disappointing weekend for the White Sox. They lose 3 of 4, and, you know, I don't like. I didn't look at this as a measuring stick going into this for the White Sox. The White Sox have a lot of catching up to do. They're not even at measuring stick, the measuring stick part of their season. If the Sox had been in first place and they were 7 or 8 games over 500, then it's a measuring stick. But it's not a measuring stick when the Sox enter the series under 500 and end the series under 500. The Yankees are better than the Sox right now, so there's no measuring when it comes to. I mean, the better measuring stick might be the Kansas City series. Let's measure. Let's make sure you're better than the Royals. Let's make sure you're a lot better than the Royals over the next 5 games. The White Sox featuring a doubleheader on Tuesday. So, yeah, that's actually the better measure, to measure that you're better than Kansas City, not the Yankees. The Yankees are the best team in baseball right now, and I think we all saw from the Yankees that was some legitimate stuff there for sure. So I don't know why this made me laugh, but I'm reading the Chicago Tribune, and I want to make sure I give credit here. It's just a quote, but I want to make sure I give credit to it. It's in the Tribune. Lamont Pope. And he's doing his 3 things about the White Sox. Let me just read you number 3. Dallas Keuchel, and by the way, Dallas Keuchel was good, but Dallas Keuchel and Tony La Russa chatted after Keuchel expressed disappointment in not pitching the 6th inning on Saturday. That's like the headline, sub-headline, what do you call it? Here's what he says word for word in the Trib. The Sox surrendered 15 and 10 runs in the first 2 games of the series with a combined 5 home runs from Giancarlo Stanton, 3 2-run homers, and Aaron Judge, 2 solo homers. Keuchel gave the team what it needed in Game 3, limiting the Yankees to 4 hits and 5 scoreless innings. He didn't factor in the decision, but put the Sox in position for the 3-2 win on Roberts' RBI single in the 9th inning. After the 86-pitch outing, Keuchel said that he would have liked to have gone longer. Quote, "I'm a little disappointed in 5, he said. "My job is to go out there and throw as many as I can. I thought after 86 pitches, I had enough to be to at least go 6. With how many games we're playing, 17 games in 17 days, I thought I had at least 100 pitches. That didn't happen. I am not happy with that, but that's the competitor." And then here's La Russa. This was the part that La Russa responded before Sunday's game. This is before yesterday's game. This is a quote, Tony La Russa, "We, the team, are mostly appreciative and excited about the 5 innings he pitched," La Russa said. "His history since I've been here in the 6th inning has been not good." Close quote. Good for you, Tony La Russa. I'm with you on that, Tony. The 6th inning has been not good. That is not good. So I like that Tony didn't mince words. I mean, Dallas Keuchel didn't either. And that was sort of Tony La Russa's "I have an office, you have a locker" version of this season. Since I've been here, in his history, since I've been here in the 6th inning has been not good. Close quote. That's all. There is no more that needs to be added to that. And I think White Sox fans, in this case. You can, hey, we could talk about Tony screwing things up in that seven run eight in the Friday game, getting my games mixed up. That was the Thursday game, the 15-7 win where he's got everything twisted in the bullpen. We can talk about that. But hey, let's leave good enough alone, Mr. Keuchel. You have been not good for most of this year. So thank you, Tony Sutter. Thank you for doing what you did. But we're going to put you away for the rest of the day. We're going to put you away. We're going to roll the dice with the bullpen. And guess what? The White Sox won that game. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Score Overnights on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, Wiz, I mean, like, obviously we know what he does when he touches the ball. He goes a long way. So good at bat there from him. And then, you know, in the ninth, getting us going, tough righty on the mound and Kennedy and throws. I mean, that ball was crushed. I don't know what the exit velo was, but smokes one in the gap. Leadoff double is always nice when you're tied late in the ball game on the road. And then, like we said, the Schwindel at bat, push that across and get us the lead, and then those guys locking it down the back end was nice. Good series, good road trip, you know, super, super happy with the way these guys bounced back after a tough homestand, came here still working, executing pitches, having good at bats, beat two quality teams.
Cubs manager David Ross talking about his Cubs 3-2 win over the Diamondbacks yesterday. And they end up taking 2 out of 3 in the series from Arizona. David Ross had a good weekend, actually. I think that one thing that David Ross is getting good at, I don't know if he's ever bad at it, but he's really starting to get a hang of bullpen usage. And he's got a built-in knowledge from having been a catcher. But when you are the manager, it is absolutely on you, and you're not just the suggesting catcher anymore who is observing how fill-in-the-blank manager is doing in David Ross's career. But there are he's just pushing the right buttons a lot more, and I've noticed that he is looking better at that. For example, the Friday game where Cubs lost 4-3. That was the weird game where, first of all, it's the Drew Smiley-Zach Davies matchup, just to really get the blood flowing. And Zach Davies came into the game pitching extremely well. But Davies always has even going back to his Milwaukee days, Davies always has periods of the season where he's very good. He had that with the Cubs, and he's having that with Arizona. And then he'll end up with a 4-something ERA or 5, whatever. But anyway, that was the game where the Cubs scored 3 in the third. Arizona matched it with 3 of their own third in the bottom of the inning, and then a wild pitch essentially decided the game. So the early scoring, both in the same innings. But David Ross's bullpen game that day. It's the seventh inning, and it's 4-3 Arizona. Robert Gsellman is in there. He allows a couple on with 2 outs. Gets the first 2 outs of the inning. Good job. Good job, Bob. He allows a couple on with 2 outs, and David Ross said, all right, enough of that. He brings in Connor Menez, and I love it this is like manager's best friend ever, like BFF for life, is the old bring in a reliever, 1 pitch, 1 out, and it was the final out of the inning. That's what happened. Menez comes into the game, 1 pitch, 1 out, inning over. That is nice for everybody involved. That's a round of applause for everybody. For David Ross, I'd like to thank Connor Menez. I'd like to thank Robert Gsellman. Everybody gets a thank you for that. Thank you. So he gets the final 8th inning. Menez then, who had gotten that last out, comes in. He allows 2 on with 2 out. And David Ross says, there's 2 outs. And, you know, some managers might say, yeah, let's power through here, Menez. Nope. David Ross comes out, says, give me the baseball. I'm going to give this to Chris Martin. Not the Coldplay lead singer, but Chris Martin of the Cubs. And Chris Martin gets the final out. So that was just like one little example. But I've just noticed that David Ross is getting to know his bullpen, because you got to do that every year. Not only new people in bullpens, but every year it's different. There's so much volatility with relievers from year to year. In terms of how good they are. He's used Scott Efros very well You know, Rowan Wick, he's kind of used all over the place. He did get a save today or yesterday. So I got to give it to Ross. Like, when I can see a manager doing good things, I like to point it out. And Ross has been doing that. So thumbs up to David Ross on that. 312-644-6767. How about this headline? We haven't talked about this yet, but headline, CBS. Drew Brees says may play football again. Former Saints QB is currently undecided on his future. Here's what it says. New Orleans Saints legend Drew Brees hung up his cleats last March and accepted a job as an analyst for NBC. This weekend, the New York Post reported Brees would not be working for NBC in 2022, leading the former quarterback to head to Twitter and address his future. Though he said the reports were not accurate, he added that returning to the field was a possibility. You drama queen, Drew Brees. Here's what he said. This is a quote from, actually it's his tweet, reading on Twitter here. Despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided, according to the Brees tweet. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I will let you know. Close quote, Drew Brees. Oh, Drew Brees is in that sweet spot, isn't he? Everybody's talking about him. He can make it look like he can go back to NBC if he wants to. He can make it look like he could go back to the NFL at 43 if he wants. I got to tell you, I don't know if it's as sweet as he thinks. Like, my gut says that there's not a lot of great opportunity for him at NBC at this point, that he's not as much of a game changer as a broadcaster as they thought he would be. And I don't know if it was NBC's decision, but I got to wonder, because, like, he's real good in those gambling commercials, but, like, beyond that, like, I don't think that they got the results out of Drew Brees, the broadcaster. It's sort of like the Jason Witten thing. When he went to, was it Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football? The old Dallas Cowboys tight end. He does it for a year. Was it a year or 2 years? Wasn't very good at it. Monday Night Football for 2 years for Jason Witten. 2 years, Jesus. And it wasn't particularly good at it. Or just wasn't like Tony Romo. And now everybody's got to be splashy. There's no time to mess around. There's too much money wrapped up in it. Didn't work out. And Jason Witten went running back to football. And is he still playing? I don't know. But he goes back. So, and you know, I think they made it look like that was his decision and all that kind of stuff, when in fact it probably wasn't. I wonder the same thing for Drew Brees. Did NBC pull the plug? Did they say, we're going to let you do it your way? We like you, Drew. You're a nice guy. All that kind of stuff. You're good in the commercials, but yeah, this is not what we expected. And, you know, whatever. Like, he's not special. There's not, like, and it doesn't, like, I don't know what it is about Drew Brees. Drew Brees is, like, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he's just never had that big personality, that big feel. And maybe this is just, like, we don't hear about it because it's New Orleans and all that kind of stuff. But he just never has risen to the height, I think, of other elite quarterbacks, because that's what he was. Like, he just never had that Q rating, from my perspective, that some of these other guys had. So, and then the football part, he's 43 years old, and he was losing a lot off the fastball in his final couple of years. Like, he was running on fumes. And I don't know, can his arm regenerate in the last year and a half, and then he can come back and play for somebody? I mean, this is not like the miracle. Like, Tom Brady's the miracle and the exception. Everybody thinks that everybody's going to be a miracle and exception now because of what Tom Brady has done and is still doing. But, you know, Because he's loving it. Like, he's loving this speculation that, oh, I might play. I might play football again. I might go, maybe I'll go back to NBC.
Well, maybe he'll finally climb Mount Everest like he tried to in those Point Best commercials.
Or go to the moon, right?
Or go to the moon, yeah. I mean, hey, anything's possible. You're Drew Brees.
Yeah. You're Drew Brees, though. You've got all these opportunities. But does he? Does he actually have all these opportunities? And Marky Mark, your humble overnight host, I have my doubts. I don't know how you feel about it, Sean, but I don't know. You get these cushy jobs at these broadcast outlets. That's the thing, man. That's the thing to do now. Why would he not go back to that if he was welcome back to it, as he makes it sound?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I was trying to find audio from it because obviously I saw the tweet that you just read here too, and I wanted to hear his tone, like, you know, how he's like going about it, because clearly like that tweet's like kind of poking fun at it a little bit. But yeah, I just don't know. Like, was he being serious about philanthropy? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he does probably do some charity work or whatever. But yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know. The few times I heard him in the booth, I wasn't in love with him, but I can't say I listened to him enough to like say whether or not, you know. So
right, no, he was there's nothing special like that, just from my perspective.
Do you think he comes out of retirement? He was very complimentary of the Saints' moves. He likes the Jarvis Landry and the Honey Badger moves.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, he's 43 and he was losing a lot off the fastball.
Yeah,
and he didn't have a great fastball to begin with. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's true.
So I he's probably got, like, of course somebody would probably sign him, but like the idea that he can just do the Tom Brady thing, I think he's overestimating himself just a little bit. Text message: Hey Mark and Sean, I had a quick question about the Cubs. Does this rebuild kind of worry you? I know when let's see. I know when will you rebuild in 2014-15. Okay, we had a lot of great prospects. Now we're cooking. My question is, we don't know, and if we good God, I'm sorry. I got myself in over my head.
It's not your fault. Whoever texted this, that your text got broken up into like three sections. So I'm sure you have a great point here. We're just trying to put it together for you here.
it's like a puzzle here, and then there's words missing.
Right, and like some of it's in the middle, some of it's not. Yeah.
Oh, I got in over my head. That's like, it's like when I used to play the clarinet, which I did for the 15, 16 years, there was something that you do when you competed in these like district tournaments. I know that sounds all silly, but there was something that you do. It's called sight reading, where they literally put a sheet of music in front of you, and then you play it. You just play it, and without ever seeing it. That's what I just did right there. I was sight reading. I saw it. I took a stab at it. I got overly ambitious. I got in over my head, but I think I got the kind of the gist of it. And I think the gist of it is that the prospects aren't in the system that were in the system back in 13 and leading up.
We keep
15.
Signing veterans or whatnot. We'll get to that in a second. You said you played the clarinet for 16 years.
Yeah. I don't know how. Like, I played. From fourth grade, because that's when you start playing an instrument.
Sure.
And so I started in fourth grade, and then I stopped playing. When I went to college, I played my freshman year in college, and then finally realized that being in the band is not cool. So it took me that long to figure it out. But no, yeah, I did. I was in marching band, concert band, the whole kit and caboodle.
Isn't the clarinet's what you learn first to get moved to saxophone eventually, right? Is that how that progression works, right?
Are you being serious right now?
I'm not. I was for a second, yes. Now I'm now I'm concerned.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Wait a minute, you like the clarinet's a starter instrument?
I thought so. Is that not? What do you do? Because you start there and then you move up to. That's usually, at least that's how it worked at Prairie Elementary in Naperville.
Oh, well,
that's
we're
going
to need to get Prairie Elementary on the line. That is not how it works. The degree of difficulty of playing the clarinet is higher than that of the saxophone. If you could play the clarinet, you can play the saxophone. If you could play the saxophone, it's not always able to play the clarinet.
I feel like I've got this wrong. I was not in
advanced. They're similar instruments. They're both woodwind instruments. They're both reed instruments. They have a little reed that helps provide the sound of the instrument, your embouchure, where you put your mouth on the instrument, similar on both. The keys are similar on both. But no, the clarinet is not some training wheels for the saxophone.
I'd say, whatever, man. All right.
The saxophone is a cooler instrument. I'll give you that.
Like, I mean, I've definitely heard the saxophone in more songs that I would listen to, but that's not, I'm not trying to slam the clarinet.
No, I know, but I'm very protective, Sean, you know, 16 years.
I was flabbergasted.
I've never heard anything like that in my life. Is that like the starter
Dustin
instrument?
Dustin said that was alarming.
Dustin Rhodes, the most alarming man on the morning show each and every single day. Yes, he is. Love you, Dustin. But yeah, no, the clarinet is not a starter instrument. But I admit the saxophone is a cooler instrument because you can play jazz. You can play jazz on the clarinet too. It's just a cooler instrument, like the saxophone and the sound.
What was the name
of
that guy that we found out through the text line last week was the lead singer for Steely Dan?
I think his name was Bob McRae.
There's no way it was Bob McRae.
Oh, okay. Just throwing a name out there. Was it Pete Crow Armstrong?
PCA. That's who it was. No,
yo,
I want to say it was like, I want to say Don Henley, but I know that's not it.
It's not Don Henley. Boy, you're really just having a bad few minutes here right now.
I just said that.
Don Henley's with
mad.
The Eagles.
I know he's in the Eagles. I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. Okay, but you were serious about that clarinet thing.
I was serious about the clarinet. I'm Googling right now. I'm like, what was going on? Why did I think that?
Well, here's the funny part. So I don't know if it's still the same way, but when I played the clarinet, it was predominantly a women's instrument. Or I should say, not a women's instrument, but mostly women played it. And so I was like often one of maybe one or two, like even in junior high and in high school and in college, like I was always one of like two or three dudes that played the clarinet. Now, because I was a guy and I am, you know, theoretically bigger and stronger than most of the women. So when I was in junior high, they had me play the contrabass clarinet, which is this obnoxiously large version of the clarinet with a deep bass to it. It is the biggest and most bassy version of the clarinet. And because I was a guy, they made me play that. I was totally typecast. Oh, we got a dude playing the clarinet. Oh, he's getting the contrabass. Then in high school, I got the bass clarinet for marching band. Oh, we need somebody to play the bass. All right, we're going to have... There's a couple husky women, and we want the dude. We got a dude play clarinet. So, dude, we need you to play bass. So part of my clarinet playing career was stunted a little bit by having to play the bass. Now, when you play bass, it's a lot more simpler form of the music because it's the dun, 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 that stuff. So yeah, I have some regrets about my clarinet playing career, that it never got to the heights it should have, that I should have been playing the B flat a little bit more, but since I was a dude, that's what happened.
You know, it's weird. I've always said, you know, Grody could definitely pull off a B flat clarinet. I've said that. I say that all the time.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier than playing, say, the Barry saxophone, right?
See, well, like, that's what I was going to say. If he nails that down, maybe we'll get him on the saxophone. But, hey,
yeah,
I
never did. I never made it to the saxophone. But I could tell you, I did pick up a saxophone every once in a while, and I play it. I'd be like, oh, my God, this is so much easier than playing the clarinet. So it's quite the antithesis, actually. That the what you're saying right there. So we gotta take a break here and straighten out our producer because things are just off the rails right now. 312-644-6767 is the number. We will take more of your calls, Cubs, Sox, clarinet, and we'll also tell you what's coming up on Mullion Haw in just a minute on The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Score Overnights on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Pitching in a major league game. No, Evan Longoria hooks one into left, so Albert gives up his first hit. We need a strikeout, right? We got to have a strikeout.
Hey! Want the ball?
Longoria having some fun with Albert on that one. He wants the ball. That's true.
I love it.
Yeah. Albert Pujols pitching for the first time in his MLB career, doing it for the Cardinals as chaos occurred in the Cardinals game. Welcome back to Score Overnight. I am Mark Grody. Coming up on Mully and Haw from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. They will have the 5 at 5 at 5:20 with the alarming Dustin Rhodes. At 6:20, it will be Pick 6. At 7:22, John Heyman talking Cubs and Sox and big picture baseball. Bruce Levine will be on at 7:42 to talk to the boys. And then Steve Stone is on at 8 o'clock this morning, all coming up on the Mully and Haw Show, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on The Score. Yeah, so, all right, here's what I'm thinking now about the Cardinals for next year. Speaking of this, and this was very alarming to Sean when I brought it up earlier, but I'm actually adding something to it. Not only do I think Yadier Molina will be the Cardinals manager next year, unless they win the World Series this year. I seriously think it's going to happen that he will, because he's basically been, you know, during the Mike Matheny years, Yadier Molina was the man. The only time that Yadier Molina was not the manager of the Cardinals in the last, you know, 15 years was when Tony La Russa was the manager of the Cardinals. Tony, as we know, has control. But, you know, he's been essentially, he was the manager when Schilt was there. He's the manager now, so he will be the manager. I think Albert Pujols will be his assistant, will be his bench coach, and or maybe even be like, oh, how about this? I think because Albert Pujols clearly has a desire to keep on playing, he'll be a player bench coach guy. That's what he'll do. He'll be the first ever assistant to play. And the part that Sean hated the most that I said, watch the Cardinals go after Wilson Contreras. Watch the Cardinals sign Wilson Contreras to a 4 or 5 year deal, or maybe not even. Maybe it'll be one of those like trendy 2 year deals. You know, maybe like a Rizzo deal.
Come on,
watch them. No, watch them. You watch the Cardinals go after Wilson Contreras.
Unbelievable.
Predicting that right now, Grobber. That is what Cubs fans are going to be looking like. Yeah, okay, the Cubs and Wilson Contreras camp, you guys are off $1 million. Get ready. You thought the Dexter Fowler thing was alarming. Wait till you see what happens when Wilson Contreras signs with the St. Louis Cardinals.
You're wrong.
We'll see. You just want me to be wrong, John.
You're all wrong.
okay. Let's see. Two more text messages here to round out the show. 708. Grody, you went from clarinet to bass clarinet. Sounds like you switched the samples. West Lou Tom. Yeah.
I switched the samples.
Yeah, I actually had the samples switched for me. I had no choice in the matter. It was like, it's like a meeting. Like, Mark, can we talk to you? I know you're doing great on the, we're going to need you to lug around the bass clarinet because, you know, like you're a foot and a half taller than everybody. So we're going to need you to do that. Stunted my growth. Let's see here. Okay, yeah, I like this one from the 224. This is probably the answer. Yep. Sean is thinking of the recorder. And Mark, I had the same experience with the bass clarinet. It also left me feeling jilted and stunted and used and abused.
I was definitely not thinking of the recorder.
Yeah, I don't know what I think you should go with that. It's better than saying that the clarinet is the starter kit for the saxophone.
Okay, well, someone from a 630 area code said, Mark, your producer's thoughts match my experience of school district 203, which is the district I'm from.
Wow, that school district is bad then when it comes to music. I'll discontinue that music department immediately.
Yeah. Score Overnight has officially shut down District 203's music program.
That is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. There's no instrument that's a starter instrument for anything. That doesn't exist. Like, you don't play the trumpet to get to the trombone. You know what I'm saying? You don't play the French horn to get to the tuba. You know, on and on. But you've amused me with this thought, though, I have to say.
I mean, I'm just trying to learn how to use the recorder at this point.
We all learn how to play the recorder in fourth grade. I think that was the recorder. Mark Benny Goodman Grody on clarinets. Go, man. Crank out Stealing Apples. All right. Yeah, Benny Goodman. Pete Fountain. Classic clarinet players. Yes. I was not even close to that aptitude. I was bad, but let's see here. Glad you handled that one. Yeah, hey, texter, to apologize for the bleepy text he said. We understood what you were talking about. Like sometimes the text line, if you, just for anybody out there listening, if you send a long text to us, first of all, it's going to be harder for you to get that text read on the air. Like if you send like a 4 or 5 part text message, and I don't know if it's indicated when you actually text, but it oftentimes will get separated and go in different directions. So we literally have to like piece it together like a puzzle, like if somebody tore up a sheet of paper and threw it in the garbage.
The worst part is like a lot of times it'll keep that first part intact. So we start reading it and think it's a text, and then it's like, oh, wait, we're missing half of this. And yep.
Yeah, exactly. So it's okay. But I would just this to all texters, I would say to whether you're texting any shows, just keep it tight. Try to get your point across like you're tweeting. Just make it nice and easy, and you'd have a better chance of A, getting it read, and we don't have to try as hard to put it together. The 630. Everyone had to play a year of clarinet to jump to sax. Now the only thing I could think of with people, okay, the number one, either A, you're trolling me, or B, that I admit the saxophone is a cooler instrument. It is. It sounds better. It's cooler. It looks cooler. The whole thing. Like cool people play the saxophone. You don't have the cool factor playing the clarinet. It is. I agree with that. Won't fight you on that. But the clarinet is a more difficult instrument to play. Not like by a ton. Degree of difficulty, but it is easier. The saxophone is. So maybe it's like the teachers are saying, you got to play the clarinet because, look, we want you to like play a challenging instrument first, and then the saxophone will be a lot easier. It's like putting the donuts on the bats. You know, you swing that for a while, then you take the donuts off, and it's a lot easier. So maybe that's the best way I could justify it.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, the analogy. I thought the analogy was strong. I think that the philosophy that I just gave, I think that was pretty strong as well. So yeah, let's just go with that. Sometimes you need to play the baritone to move up to the tuba. No, I think the baritone is harder than the tuba. The tuba, dun, 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 dun. It's like the bass clarinet. It's not that difficult to read that music. All right, as usual. 5 hours of fun here on Score Overnight. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Sean Sears, our musically uneducated producer. The kid knows sports, and he's a great producer. We just got to learn him on concert bands and things like that. Mully and Haw are coming up next. Hope you have a great day. I will be at Bears OTA, so I will talk to you sometime, maybe later this week, maybe next week, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.